Welcome to the Mount Hummer Podcast, episode 13. I'm Mo and I'm here with Luke and Elle. How's it going, guys?
Really good.
Good. Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah, all right.
Fucking should be. And I'll tell you why you should be happy. Segue, we've only just started. We have announced the actually, this is an exclusive, because when this goes out, we won't have officially announced this on the website yet. So you're getting another exclusive right here on the Mount Hummer Podcast. Meshuggah are playing this year's Golden God Awards. Come on.
Fucking hell.
One of the heaviest bands in the history of the known universe, the innovators of all things to do with modern tech metal. Just one of the greatest bands of all time. We've got them for the first time ever. Meshuggah will be playing the Golden God Awards on Monday, June 11th at the Indigo in London. And tickets are on sale right freaking now. So get over to metalhammer.com to pick up your tickets. We'll also be announcing another band tomorrow, and there's a couple more to come after that. So lots of cool shit going on in the world of Golden Gods.
Meshuggah is going to be fucking intense in that venue.
It's going to be ridiculous. One of the most intimate London venues they would have played in quite a while as well, by their standards.
Yeah, you had the definitely. Roundhouse last time I saw them.
Exactly. So yeah, a rare chance to see them at an award show, which is going to be amazing. a little bit of a smaller place than you normally get to see them. As I said, tickets are on sale right now. Get onto metalhammer.com to find out where to get hold of them, because they will definitely get snapped up. And when you see the rest of the bill we've got coming for you, you will definitely know I'm not bullshitting you there. What else has been going on? I went to Rockville this weekend.
Yay!
That was fun. Went out to Florida's premier, or certainly Jacksonville, Florida's premier rock and metal festival. Yeah, it was great. We got quite a lot of stuff done there, which we will kind of reveal probably in a month or two's time. You will see more of what we were getting up to and why we were at Rockville, doing some cool things behind the scenes, which you will see very soon. But yeah, did get to see some great bands. Parkway Drive and Power Trip, both on the Friday, for me, completely stole the weekend, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Anyone who's heard us talk about Power Trip, especially recently when I talked about them playing the Metal Hammer Tour, kind of unsurprised to find that they're just as good in America as they are when they play England. It was brilliant.
What was the pit like?
Yeah, nuts. You know, they had like a kind of moderately big crowd, I'd say. They're on the third stage about 2/3 of the way through the day. And it was blazing hot as well. Like all weekend, proper Florida heatwave shit going on. It was toasty. That didn't stop people just moving and moshing and absolutely losing their minds. It was great to see. Again, arguably the best guitar tone in metal right now. It sounded great on an outdoor stage just as much as it does indoors. It was really good.
Did Partway play the new stuff?
They did. They played the new tracks. They had about, I don't know, maybe 8 songs or so, 9 songs, something like that. So it wasn't the longest set you'll see. But they got a really big crowd as well. And I don't think I've seen Parkway in the US before. So it was just nice to see them getting a really big audience. Yeah. I can't remember. I think they played the third stage as well, or maybe the second. They're quite far up it. But yeah, just two of the most reliable live bands in metal now, Parkway and Power Trip. So they're both absolutely awesome. Five Finger Death Punch was an interesting one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Obviously, they're finally now sitting on a new album, which we've been waiting for ages. They've had a bit of time off by their standards. And when they first came out, it kind of felt like it wasn't quite clicking. And it was only about a third of the way in where it seemed like Ivan had some quite bad sound issues.
Oh, really?
Like his in-ear didn't seem to be working, and his mic definitely cut out a couple of times. So he was getting a little bit fed up. In fact, there was one point where he was literally holding a baseball bat on stage and smashing the monitor with
it.
Shit. And then looking directly at someone off stage. So someone had definitely got in trouble after that.
That's some Slipknot kind of thing there.
I know, yeah. You really don't want an angry Ivan Moody giving you the eyes when shit's going a bit south. But that said, they seem to turn it around. And what really seemed to turn it, actually, was when, you know, he likes to get like kids up on stage to
get
them a little chance to hang out and see the gig and stuff. He did that with two young guys who were, one of them was like 11 years old, and he saw them crowd surfing over the front.
Aww.
So he got security to grab them and bring them up on stage. And he obviously really loves doing that with the fans, and it really lightened the whole mood up. And after that, they were just, as they usually are, one of the best live bands in metal. So that was really cool. Oh, for Hailstorm on the Friday, they were great. Lizzie sounded awesome. Again, massive crowd. I mean, they're actually at that point now where they've just got a kind of proper catalogue of great songs. One of the albums I'm really looking forward to hearing as well. I know they're doing Brixton over here later in the year, so that should be great. They were really good. And for the second time in 2 years, Ozzy was really on it.
Really?
Yeah, really on it.
That bodes well for June, doesn't it?
Yeah, he his honestly, I don't know what's happened, whether doing his solo stuff has given him a bit more impetus again, but his vocals sounded absolutely spot on. Awesome. And to the point where I kind of went, is there like a backing track here?
Yeah.
But then there were a couple of times where like his voice got a bit gruff and he kind of coughed it out and carried on, and that actually, you know, ran home that he was just sounding really good. The set list was kind of not the most inspiring ever. If you've seen Ozzy at any point solo in the last 10 years, you know what you're going to get. What was kind of extra annoying about it, and I can't remember if he did this before, but Zakk Wylde basically did the biggest dick tease ever, where he did a solo kind of section where he played all the kind of opening riffs and then solos off like Miracle Man, Perry Mason, Desire, like all the big late 80s and 90s songs that I would just kill to see them do properly, and he just kind of teased them all, so that was a bit like brrr, like here's what you could have won. Do you know what I mean?
That's probably like a tribute in his eyes.
It was, yeah. And you know, Ozzy is, he's at a point in his career now where he probably doesn't want to just be trying to dust off rarities and stuff, but it was a bit of a shame. But yeah, other than that, that was really cool. God, who else was there on the weekend? Avenged on the Saturday was a bit of a shame because it was the first set on the new tour, the kind of latest stage tour, and Shadow's voice was a bit buggered, and it was only once he actually stopped after one song and kind of went, hey guys, just so you know, we might have to cut this short, I'm not feeling great today, after that you started to see it got worse and worse. But they still, I mean, I thought it was great, and I do think if Shadows hadn't said anything, you might not have noticed it as much anyway. But that said, during the set, they had to stop it again, weirdly. Second time we talked about this after what happened on the Hammer Tour. And someone got injured in the crowd, and they really had to stop the show and lock it down for a little bit while that got sorted out. So just one of those kind of stop-starty situations as well. So that was a little bit of a shame. Stone Sour, great fun. I wasn't massively keen on the last album, but I think they've just become one of the most reliable kind of late afternoon bands
like,
on festival stages now. Corey looked like he was having the absolute time of his life as well.
It always looks like he's having a really good time.
Yeah.
So I think even if you're not that into Stone Sour, when you watch it, it's just so enthusiastic, you get really sucked in.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. Hollywood Undead were there. asking Alexandria. That was interesting. Oh. Song sounded great. Danny sounded great. All looked like they were kind of dicking about a little bit at times. I mean, Danny's just Danny. He'll just be him. So that was an interesting one. I'm kind of not sure where they're all at the moment, but it wasn't the most impactful time I've seen them. Certainly not as good as they were at Brixton a few months ago, because they were great that night. And the band of Sunday, I'd have to probably say, would be Clutch. No surprise there. Just one of the best live bands in rock and metal. It was brilliant. Again, third day of sweltering heat. Everyone was tired out and sweating, and they still got everyone throwing the most ridiculous shapes ever. So, shout out to them. I missed them because we were doing some interview stuff at the time, but I heard that Turnstile were absolutely brilliant as well.
Oh, cool.
And completely destroyed it. Oh, and I saw The Fever, Jason Ireland.
Oh, was it good?
I really wanted to see them.
They were really good, yeah. It was... I heard somebody say that they had a backing track on, but I didn't spot it, but I only saw about three songs of their set.
Okay. I'll be surprised if they did.
It was very, very impassioned, and it was Jason, and it was just wicked seeing him back on the stage, which is great. So yeah, very excited about that. A bloody good weekend. Thank you to everyone at Rockville who looked after us. It was great.
Oh.
Had a lovely, lovely time. And yeah, as I said, you can look for all the stuff we got done there very soon. It's going to be cool. What have you guys been up to?
I didn't go anywhere nearly as big or sunny, but I went...
Oh, also, I should say I went on the Matthews Bridge as well. Yes! Come on!
Hold on.
Sorry. Yeah, carry on. You smiled.
I went to see Cancer Bats at the Underworld.
Ah, nice.
One of the billion shows they're doing, yeah. It was the second of four shows at the Underworld they were doing, all sold out. We're doing the Hail Destroyer in full. Plus a load of other stuff. Like the second song was the Sabotage cover, and everyone was obviously going pretty crazy for it. But to be fair, it was not the rowdiest Cancer Bats show I've ever seen, and I was a bit
really.
Yeah.
Which of the four did you go to?
The second one.
Okay.
And I don't know why. But it just felt like there's obviously crowd surfers and stage dives and stuff, but it just didn't feel like it was as mental as some gigs I've seen there.
But
was
think
a
people
bit...
were saving themselves for the Friday night.
Well, that's it. Some people
like, the work week and stuff.
Okay, some people were there the night before, and I imagine a lot of people were probably doing all four shows because they're super fans or whatever. But yeah, I don't know, just like the band were going hard, but yeah, the crowd was a bit tame, I suppose.
Dare I suggest that as much as Hell the Story is a brilliant album, Cancer Bats aren't necessarily the bands people want to see a full album set from?
No, I agree. And I think, obviously, they opened with like other songs, then did Hell Destroyer, then ended on... can't what they ended on now, but other songs. What I did quite enjoy, though, was that they mentioned how they've been accepted by, you know, the UK hardcore scene since they came over, and that they feel like part of the UK scene, which I sort of agree with them, to be fair.
Definitely.
Like,
There's a clear line in the sand between pre- and post-Cancer Bats,
exactly.
When you look at where the scene has gone.
And he was talking about the time, all the bands you hang out with, like, it's the first time I've heard the name Johnny Truant mentioned on stage for a long time. And he was like, now we're going to play the Bloodening, and they didn't, which was upsetting. I gave a shout-out to, like, Ghost of 1000 and Gallows and stuff, and everyone in the crowd was like, fucking yes, we remember that, we were there. And yeah, you can tell, like, when Cancer Bats came over, suddenly, not that they influenced anything, but they were part of that crew of UK hardcore at the time. I can't remember what the gig was you mentioned now, but you're saying they came over with, like, This Is Hell and Parkway at the Ballroom, like, 10 years ago or something, and that was the first time they ever played Hell Destroyer. And I was like, I wish I'd have been at that show.
That would have been very good.
Incredible.
But yeah, do you feel like, because I wonder, again, going back to you saying about people weren't that mad for it, to me, the difference between, I don't know, even like from Killswitch doing A Life Before Just Breathing to even Billy from Valentine doing The Poison to, you know, etc. I don't know if Cancer Bats are really the kind of bands, because a lot of those bands that do that kind of thing, it represents a real moment in time and a real kind of shift in a certain scene for a lot of people. And Hell Destroyer definitely does that on a musical level. But Cancer Bats I don't want them to be doing stuff like that, really.
No,
especially when they're about to, when they've just put what is an absolute banging album out, by the way, in my opinion. I don't know. Are we kind of reaching saturation point with bands doing this whole full album thing now?
I think we are and we're not. I think with Cancer Bats, not that they're a singles band, but I think you look at that album, it's quite long for a hardcore record. And yeah, like with Cancer Bats, you just pick and choose the best bits from their, seven albums or however many they've got. And that's a wicked set list. I mean, Hell Destroyer takes up a lot of time if you're not into that album. But because to be fair, when they announced it, I was just like, wicked, a Cancer Bats show.
They did sell out four Underworlds in a row, to be fair, which is 2,000 people or something?
Yeah, it must have been, yeah.
Yeah.
But the idea of them doing Hell Destroyer didn't make me go, yes, that's going to be even better. It was just like, okay, they're doing that. That's cool. But I love that band and the album's wicked. It was always going to be good. But yeah, I just don't think it was necessarily the right band for a full album set, but they're still, it was still good, and they're still one of the best hardcore bands in the world.
Always love for Cancer Bats.
But not the best hardcore band in the world, Merlin. That was the next day.
What are you moving on to?
Wow, seamless.
Look at that. Let's see, Converge for the third time in a week.
Why don't you marry them?
I know. I fucking love this band. I mentioned them last week, obviously, about Roadburn, and again, this was not a full album set like they did at Roadburn. This was just... Here's We're Converge and We're Really Fucking Good. I did like 9 or 10 songs off the new album, and it all sounded amazing. But what I thought was really cool was that not only was it sold out and it was super intense, whatever, but there was like, you look around and there's like the guys from Conjurer are there, the guys from Black Peaks are there, like hanging out. Just like, you realise how far like the Converge's influence spreads into bands. And you're like, Conjurer don't sound like Converge, Black Peaks don't sound like Converge. But they're massive, massive fans. You see them all losing their shit.
Well, I mean, the very most important and influential bands. It's not just music they influence with, it's attitude and it's ethics and it's
the ultimate DIY band.
Yeah, exactly.
They ended on Concubine and everyone went fucking ballistic. And yeah, it was just a wicked show. And you could just see, Jacob having a lovely, lovely time up there, getting all sweaty and shouty and everything else. But yeah, it was just a rig set, because Converge don't really come over that often, which is quite surprising. They never do festivals, really. I can't remember the last time they played Download.
Last time I saw them at festivals, when they played the tent at Sonosphere, I think. That was years ago.
Yes, that was at least, 6 years ago. Yeah. And last time I saw them was when they did Deathwish Fest, which was like 3 years ago. Mm. That was their own thing. So yeah, so when they do come over, it's a very important thing for people who love that band, because it's not often you get to see them. And it was just a great time.
What a lovely time had by all. Elle, what's going on in the world of metal this week?
Well, exciting things are happening. Very exciting things. Guns N' Roses are counting down to something to do with Appetite for Destruction.
Right. So
here we go. People. So they put posters up around Camden.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Got,
is that right?
They got billboards up from that era.
Everywhere or just in the UK?
All we've seen on social media is Camden. in Camden.
And there's each member has a picture of their face.
So making 2 + 2 to make 4 in theory is that. Holy shit, the Appetite for Destruction lineup for Guns N' Roses are going to be back together doing something.
Yeah.
And that could be a download. Are they going to do a tour? Are they going to just stiff us all with a re-release of Appetite for Destruction? That's what the whole thing is about. And that's what 99% of bands do when they pull this on us, the cunts.
Yeah.
Is it going to be? Who knows?
Because it is 30 years.
We generally don't know, by the way. That wasn't a hint.
No, it's 30 years, 31 years technically since Appetite.
The classic
3-1. I don't think there's been a big deluxe reissue of that album that I'm aware of. Not in the same way that Metallica have done lately with
puppets and stuff, yeah.
So there could be something like that. But why would you bother putting faces up on billboards, and why would you bother?
That's very provocative, isn't it?
Yeah, and why would you bother going to all this effort with, you know, the countdown to destruction? Destruction is coming, whatever. Which ends 5 a.m. UK time on Friday. The countdown
does it
ends. Yeah, so set your alarms, folks.
Yeah, don't
be a party, Luke.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I can't remember if we talked about Guns. On this podcast yet, but we were all at the show in London last year, and it was one of the best shows we've ever been to. So if they're going to do something with more original or classic lineup members, then I'm all for it. Definitely don't go putting Izzy Stradlin's face on a poster and then not do anything with them. That would annoy me.
Yeah, you'd have thought that you know, Izzy would and Steve Adler would at least have been asked.
Izzy hates doing the proper world tours. I've seen Izzy actually came out at the Download 2006 show they did.
Yeah, he did.
He's done a few, him and Duff, before Duff properly joined again, always used to do occasional appearances. I have a feeling they might have brought Steven out more recently than
I'm
not.
Sure he came out in one of the American shows once or twice.
But yeah, I mean, it's a hard one, because Izzy, as much as we'd all love to go, we want the original lineup, and you're always going to get twats going, yeah, it's not real Guns N' Roses. we were there, it was fucking Guns N' Roses. Izzy doesn't like touring, and never has, and that's why you just don't see him do very much in the public eye. And Steven's, of course, had some very serious issues to deal with. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit sceptical, but
I'd like to see it happen.
Oh,
though.
God, yeah. It would be. I mean, the only thing that could have made how good they are live again better is if they had some original
They're
members.
They're all there, yeah.
I'm still a little bit confused why they didn't get Matt Sorum out, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Such is life. We'll see what happens.
In other also quite bonkers news, Baby Metal have announced they're launching a record label.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Didn't know Sue Metal was such a business acumen.
A mogul. Baby mogul.
Well,
I reckon they're just going to sign up all the other bands like them in Japan and bring them over.
There's
here.
There's no bands like Baby Metal. One in a million.
Cobra Metal, who's the man behind Baby Metal, is a really smart guy, and he knows exactly what he is doing. And he's obviously the business brains behind it. And I can see him having some elaborate scheme. I mean, if other bands get as big as Baby Metal, they can do like massive, massive package tours as well. Special singles, special merch. Like, there's literally endless business opportunities there.
Yeah.
But it's really cool, because hopefully we're going to get to hear some music we've not heard before as well. Like, you know, they're going to bring some bands over we've not heard of, see what they're like, introduce us to some new music.
What is interesting about it is that the labels in a sort of deal with 5B Management and Cooking Vinyl, who are not small fishes.
Nope.
There's still going to be a lot of money and interest floating around whatever this label venture is going to be. I think it could be really exciting.
Yeah.
Whatever, even though it's tied to Baby Metal, whatever your opinions of Baby Metal are, I think they're going to bring some wicked music our way.
I mean, all for it. Like, again, like you said, whatever you think of Baby Metal, they are unquestionably the most unique band to break from the metal scene possibly ever. I mean, there's no one could have ever seen that coming.
Hey, don't forget Lordy.
Yeah, slightly different levels. Lordi did do to like 300 million people in Helsinki once.
For a minute they European were literally metal's the weird. Biggest metal band in the world after Eurovision. Don't forget the Rock Tour once.
I can't.
I don't know what that is.
The Rock Tour on. It was Lordi's restaurant.
Really? Was that a thing?
Yeah, where you could get special metal burgers. It was called a Rocktorant.
A Rocktorant.
That's literally idea
it's
number
the word
one for a day.
Restaurant, but with the
what
word
should we call
rock.
It? Rocktorant, yeah. Rocktorant.
Yeah. What are you not getting?
The fact that a band that creative and does all that stuff could come up with such a crap name for their food place.
Well, this is the band who came up with the Rock and Roll Hallelujah. They just repurpose other phrases and expressions and words.
What is Rock and Roll Hallelujah?
It's Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Yeah, Hard Rock Hallelujah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
And the Rockalypse.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, but that works.
Yeah, true.
The Rocktorant.
Rocktorant's the worst pun
that's
I've ever
awful.
Heard.
I would have eaten there had I had the chance. I think it's closed now. I'm not sure though.
Almost certainly. well, never mind. Yeah, let's not do a baby metal restaurant. I think we don't need that in the world.
I would
right
go
now.
There.
The record label's fine, just stick with that.
No, I would absolutely go to a baby metal restaurant. It'd be like instead of Ronald McDonald, they'd have the Fox God.
Don't sully his name. Fox God wouldn't lower himself. He's not a clown that you could just entertain yourself with. God. This has gone weird. Fucking hell, speaking of weird, Ghost have announced that all three puppers are going to be on display on tour.
What?
Yeah. That's the reason my voice went up at the end there. So, always the enigma, aren't they? Current Metal Hammer cover stars, of course. Thank you to everyone who came out and supported the bundles. I think we got a couple of bundles.
Like tiny amounts.
A couple came back on sale because so many people went on it, crashed the site. So we might still have a couple of those bundles on sale if you're still looking for one. But so yeah, Metal Hammer cover stars and very much putting out all these mysterious videos that are kind of unravelling the next chapter. And just when we thought Papa Emeritus 1, 2 and 3, which is gone from Ghost Lore forever, they're all back.
Have you seen the video?
Yes.
So
it's weird.
It is weird. Yeah. So basically,
it's got them all like out of corpse paint. Really odd.
They're all playing Uno in a room and then the sister comes in.
Sister Imperator.
Yeah. And then they all end up in a morgue getting treated like a corpse would, and then they all end up in caskets, and then they're all shoveled into the back of a van to go out on tour.
Wow. So you could say our current cover showing the dearly departed and decapitated Papa 3 was a world exclusive because they're all dead now, apparently. Is that what they're getting at?
They were alive in the clip, then they were injected with something, and then they went in the casket.
Death.
So we don't know. Well, yeah. We don't know whether they were injected.
They were injected with dead.
We don't know if they were injected with death, or if when we see them alive, they're actually ghosts and they're dead or something. It's not very clear.
Oh, hold on. You're going well deep now.
I thought about it a lot.
Something Lewis, our art editor, pointed out in the video is you never see Papa 3 in the morgue, and when they're packing the puppers into the back of the lorry and they've got their names written on them, the person shutting the lorry door obscures the name that should say Papa 3. You only see the names Papa 1 and 2.
Ooh.
So getting
what?
Fucking hell, it's like Westworld.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Fucking hell.
Are they alive? Are they dead?
Layers. Yeah. Layers. Because Papa 3 is the only one you see get injected by the ghoul as well.
Wow. Yeah, they don't show one,
what
yeah.
is going on?
That's true.
And people have the absolute cojones to say that ghosts aren't metal. Come on.
This is metal.
This
surely
is metal. How is, like, what are the bands?
Killing your own members.
What are the bands short of Slipknot to a slightly different extent and probably Baby Metal have this level of suspense and intrigue and mystique around everything they do?
And like, they're pimping out the corpses for selfies.
Yes, exactly. What's more metal than that?
Have your picture taken with your favourite dead papa.
Is that
really?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah, it's for the meet and greets, I think it
that's
is.
That's what the display
that's
is,
why the caskets have gone in the van, because they're going to display the caskets and then people can go...
What, so you can get... You can pay money to get a selfie with
a
papa corpse.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
And that's
a great idea.
That is pretty metal as well. It's like, oh, what are you doing tonight? I'm off to get my photo taken with some dead people.
Wow.
Then I'm going to watch a priest do some singing.
Wow. That is awesome. Holy shit. Well, yeah, obviously Ghost very much a mystery to pretty much everybody. But if you want to hear more about Prequel and everything that's going on in that amazing brain of Tobias Forges, pick up the new issue of Melt Hammer because it's a fascinating interview, if I do say so myself.
I wonder who wrote it, Merlin.
Oh, it's some bad man. Couldn't come up with something better than that. But yeah, no, genuinely fascinating guy, and we do lift the lid just a little bit, as much as you'll let us, on the next chapter of Ghost of the New Issue, so check that out imminently. And yes, Ghost are a metal band, don't be dumb.
Yeah,
metal is more than a sound, and you know it. Stop saying these silly things.
If you don't like, you know, theatrics with your heavy metal, you probably don't like heavy metal.
Iron Maiden want a word.
Manowar.
Some reader questions, www.facebook.com/metalhammerreaders, if you want to come and join the discussion about the magazine, the podcast, and everything in between. Oh, Jesus. This one comes off Twitter. @TJCrazy_chemist asks, would you guys still call Kiss, Kiss, if no original members were left on it? Paul Stanley has said it would still be called Kiss in an interview a while ago. So, yeah, Paul Stanley, I think Gene has as well, has gone on record and said it could be quite possible that one day we will get Kiss with a completely new lineup, all face painted up, still going out on tour, still putting out albums. What do you think about that?
I think you could still call them Kiss. I know a lot of people disagree, but I'm not a hardcore Kiss fan, and when I've seen them, it's basically just been what Kiss is. It's a massive show, it's a massive pantomime, it's fire, it's pain, it's songs. And I think you can have anyone doing that, and people are still going to want to go and enjoy it.
Controversial.
I knew it was controversial, but honestly, I just think you can still do it. And that whole, you know, Kiss's whole thing is that. Like, look at all the Kiss merchandise. You know, it's all characters, it's all logos, it is what it is, and I think people still want to hear those songs and see that show, why not do it?
Yes, of course. Yeah, and if there are people who are going to pay for it, they're going to pay for it, and that's kind of the be-all and end-all.
And it's you know, it's, I probably shouldn't go into another discussion now, but we've talked in the past about holograms and so on.
Yes.
And, you know, this is still
slightly different, though, I think.
It is different, but I think, you know, I'm not sure I'm going now. it's people being Kiss, and it's on a stage, and people probably want to go and see it, and I think it just plays into that whole Kiss world thing. It's the next generation or whatever.
I mean, as much as he can, the thing is, as much as he can be a cantankerous motherfucker, and he'd be the first to admit that, I'm sure, not seeing Gene Simmons being Gene Simmons, and especially Paul Stanley being Paul Stanley. And this, you know, I saw Kiss last year, and I've got to be honest, Paul's voice really isn't what it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, if people are going to pay to watch it, you can go and pay to watch it. But I would struggle watching Kiss without Paul and Gene. But if there's one band that are going to make it work, because at the end of the day, one thing they'll never do is do anything that won't make them a fuck ton of money. Yeah. Then they, I'm sure it is Kiss. So.
Like, even after Gene is buried in his Kiss casket, I'm sure he's going to have left plenty of provisions for his name and legacy to keep earning money. Yeah. Wherever that goes, I have no idea.
Absolutely.
I think it just depends on how... I don't agree with it, but I think it depends on how you view Kiss and whether they're a band or, like, basically a musical. Like you went to go see the Battle of Hell musical.
I did
yesterday.
Last night, yeah.
And if they change all the cast, it would still be the Battle of Hell musical touring around or playing London. It all depends on
how... Yeah, but if you went to a Meatloaf show and that's what you got.
No, no, totally. But it depends on how you view... He's one person, because it all depends on how you view Kiss and whether they are basically just a musical act or they're a band. If it's basically just a big musical, pompous rock and roll show for you, then really doesn't fucking matter who's playing what. I don't agree with it, but I think I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah,
to be a bit devil's advocate. But at the same time, like you say, it would also, if it always was that, then you could get away with it. But because it has basically been the same people for fucking what, 40-50
years. And let me put this another way, if Marilyn Manson did that, would you go see it?
No, I'd be really sad.
Yeah,
about it.
Right. Because you're a Marilyn Manson fan.
But that's Marilyn Manson.
Yeah,
it's
but this
like
is Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley. Like, this is Kiss.
But
do you know what I mean?
But they wear, you know, they wear the costumes. They do the
so
show.
So Manson.
It's different.
It's hard to compare a band to a person.
I don't know. A Kiss. I think,
yeah, but at one point Manson wasn't a person.
Yeah,
no,
true.
He's just crafted.
Okay,
it
I'll fully
so.
Admit that I don't. All
right, Slipknot then.
Yeah, obviously that was a stupid idea.
I
don't agree with the Kiss idea, but I can understand why Kiss is Kiss the musical would work as an idea. But I think, yeah, rebranding yourself with entirely different members, you just attribute.
Yeah,
that.
I can't imagine Slipknot being Slipknot without Slipknot. But they don't run the band the same way as Kiss.
Why? Aside from slightly less hokey merch.
I think that's what it is. I mean, I went to Tokyo a couple of years back for the big X Japan festival. And Gene Simmons came on stage and performed with them. And he was there because the Kiss exhibition was in town. And it had all the Kiss memorabilia, you know, Kiss merch.
Just
Kiss
like a Knotfest. I will admit that Kiss is different to Slipknot because Gene Simmons is Gene Simmons and he has shamelessly ran it as like an enterprise from day one.
I think Slipknot has more heart as well. Okay, so this is controversial again, but
maybe
I think Slipknot songs, you can say there's lots of kind of different emotions in them. Some of them are drawing off like personal things. They really went hard when they were younger. They really went hard when they were younger and like really got, you know, used to vomit and have the dead crow and everything. Whereas Kiss...
That's where Gene Simmons went wrong.
That's where he went wrong. I think Kiss, there have always been more fun times, more kind of pantomimey. It's a different kind of a band, even if they've kind of got similar trappings. But maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it's at the end of the day, I care about Manson and Slipknot, and I don't care about Kiss apart from the songs are good party songs.
Wow. And I don't know. I think Kiss have some emotional songs. Beth's an emotional song. It's like legit, you know, stuff going on there. But yeah, in the year 2018, you know, the last Slipknot album was about their dead friend and departed bandmate, and Kiss, it's just about writing Kiss shit now.
You just want to hear like Crazy Nights and other Kiss songs.
Featuring Crazy Nights and others.
I literally can't think of any right now.
What?
I just can't. I've gone blank.
Never mind, we're not doing this now. Yes, I see what you mean. I personally would go see it one time out of curiosity. I just don't know though, because it's not like someone's died or left the band and they've got no choice.
You don't get someone in the pit like going, oh yeah, I'm going to like fuck shit up and have an amazing time, and it's...
You haven't seen Luke at a Kiss show.
I just think it's different.
When that fire comes out.
Ooh. Wow, interesting. Let us know what you think about that. Tweet at us or, yeah, go on the Facebook readers group and let us know what you think. A very interesting situation. Possibly not ever done before, I don't think.
With
no members, but fully approved by all the members and a touring show.
Are there any original members of Thin Lizzy left?
No, but Thin Lizzy don't exist now, do they?
Oh, actually.
And Scott Gorham was still in the band. Again, he was of a certain era, but Scott Gorham was in the band when I first saw Thin Lizzy, which was about 12 years ago or something now.
Okay.
But yeah. Interesting. What else is going on?
Ben Wilmot asks, when you review an album, do you have a preferred way to listen to it? For example, on loudspeakers while sitting there doing nothing, or out walking on headphones, etc.? Probably not walking on headphones. Or do you have to fit it in around household chores because there's so much to listen to?
Well, I'll tell you which way we don't like to listen to an album. Obviously we're very lucky to get albums in advance, and we need to do that to kind of get, not just review them, but also get our heads around them before we interview bands and all this kind of stuff. A lot, because of the way the industry is now, a lot of the time we get albums through streams, which is not ideal, because a lot of the time that means you need to have to kind of sit at your desk and do all that kind of thing, which obviously, you know, you don't really want to be getting your head around a new album when you're having to work and do other stuff. So yeah, definitely, if we're able to, on really big, decent quality headphones, is probably where I'd most like to listen to something through properly. Because even on speakers, you can kind of be doing stuff around the house or whatever while that's going on. But if you're just like sat doing nothing, big old speakers blaring out new music, that's always a nice way to get around stuff. And sometimes, to be honest, unless I'm interviewing the band myself or it's something we need to consider for something big and hammer, I don't really take proper time to get around the album before it's out like everyone else, because that's when it's on Spotify and you can download it, or you can, you know, buy it or whatever you want to do, and you can properly like take some time to get to get into it.
Yeah, I'm the same, because we get, say, a lot of the music that comes through is streams. You're pretty much tied to your laptop or your desk to actually listen to it. So yeah, a lot of music I listen to makes on Spotify on my phone, because it's a lot easier. But also, he says, you know, there's so much to listen to. There's too much to listen to. I'm sure we all do get at least 10 new albums a day in my inbox.
I think more
really.
It tends to be in the office, kind of the first on the front lines with the kind of, especially the kind of gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
You tend to be like, have you heard this post-black metal band?
Have you heard all this horrible music that no one will like?
Yeah.
But yeah, I get like so many albums a day, you're just not going to have time to listen to it. And it's, you know, annoying, and you're probably going to miss a load of stuff you know you like, but you just have to wing it and hope for the best. But yeah, I always listen on headphones, really. I think me and you, Eleanor, have got the same headphones.
Yeah,
some Bose
noise cancelling headphones.
Ones. Really
amazing.
Good.
I get really nerdy as well. Like,
sponsor us.
I wanted to know that was going. Oh my word. Good. Okay. Got there.
I get really nerdy about it. If I'm reviewing something or working on a feature, I will sometimes just sit down in my house usually and listen to it and open a blank page and write down the lyrics when I listen to it, because it means that I'm really focusing on it and I'm really taking it in, whereas other times my attention span will wander and I'll be like, oh shit, I need to go back and listen to that again. So it's just kind of a way of really focusing my attention.
Elle's listening habits, you are you know what I'm going to say, whenever Elle comes into the office, the kind of Elle listening cycle always goes, yeah, it's not too bad. And then give it like 5 days and she's like, I'm obsessed, I've played it 6 times today.
Yeah, that's basically what I do. Like, I can be a bit quite lazy in the office sometimes, and I'll let other people put stuff on in the office so I can hear it. Again, because we have lots of streams and stuff, sometimes I'll just be like, oh, you've got that, let's all listen to it, you can put it on. I'll sit back and listen to it at the same time. And then if I'm really getting into something, I will listen to it literally obsessively. I got an album yesterday, which obviously can't talk about, and it had limited amount of plays, and I didn't realise, and I used them all up by lunchtime, and I was like, shit, I need to try and get some more plays now, because I've literally listened to it until it's finished forever. So
forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, limited streams are a right old pain. But you know, again, that's where the industry's at, and it's appreciate that bands have to be careful and all that's business. But yeah, headphones are the best ever, for sure. Sponsor us.
Paul Williamson asks, where do you see metal in 100 years?
This is interesting, because
Kiss is still going.
Yeah. Oh, God. Kiss Mark 8. No, I was going to say, this is the first thing you ever pitched at Metal Hammer.
It was.
Yeah.
I remember now.
First time Luke, because Luke used to be at a really cool mag called Front Magazine, which was awesome. He left there and he pitched at Metal Hammer, and he pitched this very feature, and we ended up running it.
We did, yeah. I remember, but it wasn't me answering the questions, I mean, asking.
No, that would be like, yeah.
it's like, lads, I've got 2,000 words for you. But was it Steel Panther, like Killswitch,
Crossfaith,
Devin, Crossfaith? Yeah, fucking load of bands talking about where we're going to be, in 100 years, with the excellent headline, Rock to the Future.
Yeah, come on. And
you
here he is, all these years
later. Like Rock to Ron, yet Rock to the Future is somehow fine.
Correct.
Yeah, she's got us there. Yeah.
Rest to Rock would be better than Rock to Run, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what you were thinking about earlier.
Either way. Well, in 100 years' time.
I don't know where metal's going to be in 10 years' time.
Because 100 years ago, there was no metal.
There was barely any popular music as we know it today.
But as I say, he's not made it easy, Paul. But I imagine.
Yeah, Paul.
Come on. But I don't know. It will still exist. I think there will still be some kind of heavy music.
Of course,
resembling metal, it's not going to go anywhere
until
it's lasted 50 years.
You know, until the inevitable cyborg revolution comes, and we're all just sat worshipping Long 17.
But they've listened to industrial.
I'd be cool with that. Just team manufacturer.
I was going to say team manufacturer and a bit of Nine Nails.
Yeah, why not?
Technology is obviously a huge thing, a bit less interesting to talk about in that way. But who knows how we're going to be listening to things and what music's going to be on. And I think some people have sort of said before, what is going to happen? You know, we all start listening to things on Spotify and have stopped buying things and are streaming things. What if Spotify isn't a thing anymore and we lose some music if people haven't actually got it on a physical format, or we can't play it in a physical format? That could happen. Or are we going to not stream and something else has happened? Is it going to conduct through the bones in our head? Yeah. I don't know.
Beam straight into your synapses.
That'll probably be where it is at some point. Do you not like? I was saying this to someone the other day. It's weird how you watch science fiction films now. Like sci-fi, when it first kind of emerged in cinema, was really like ambitious and aspirational, and kind of it was like, wow, in like the year 1985, we're going to have hoverboards and shit like that. And it's like, I can't imagine that now. When I watched Blade Runner 2049 on the flight over the other day, And you just kind of look at it all and you go, yeah, that could be about 10 years from now.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Coincidentally, I was ill at the weekend and pretty bored sitting on my sofa. And after I'd watched everything on Netflix, I started going on YouTube and watching old performances. Because I was kind of, I can't remember what band got me thinking about it. But there was a certain band I was listening to from the 70s, or maybe it was old Sabbath things. I can't remember how I got there. And I was thinking, it's so weird how, because I was born in the 80s, things from the 70s when I was growing up seemed so old. But actually, now I'm in my 30s, it's weird because stuff that happened, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, I remember. And I remember it being kind of recent, even though the time difference is in the future and not the past, if that makes sense. I started looking up old clips from gigs I went to in the early 2000s, and they look so dated now. It's insane.
Yeah, of course.
I was looking at Manchester Academy, where I used to go, and kind of looking at the gigs there. And we have gigs we go to now, there's so much more on stage than there used to be, mm-hmm. and there's so much more production. You'd mm-hmm. go like back to the early 2000s, and I'd forgotten how different it was. So even just that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, is so different.
Yeah. Slipknot's debut album is 20 years old next year.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, Merlin.
This is where we are.
But it's.
Welcome
yeah,
to the future.
Things have gone so fast, but I think if you live day to day, you just kind of don't stop and think about how far we've come, you kind of forget. Or yeah. at least I do.
Yeah, Paul Williamson. Stop looking to the future. Appreciate the present.
Yeah. Live in the now.
Paul. Craig Huntley asks, what are your thoughts on bands re-releasing albums in special editions with extra tracks, etc., not long after their intimate release? I mean, if you're from our generation and probably the next generation up, you'll be very familiar with things like Roadrunner digipacks, where
yeah.
that was the norm. That was just, you know, that was, you'd get like anyone from Killswitch to Mandadals to Fear Factory to all those kind of late 90s, early 2000s Roadrunner bands, and you, with like clockwork, within the year the album came out, you'd get a digipack with an extra disc of bonus stuff, and it'd get packaged up. So it's definitely not a new phenomenon.
No,
sure.
And I don't. And realistically, this isn't the bands doing this. It is very much the labels doing it. I'm sure the band would rather have their album kept the way they imagined it and wanted it to be ingested by the listener. But you know, you can make money.
If the bands are making money out of
it,
you know.
It keeps fans going, and then fans get something else out of it and get to hear some new tracks they haven't heard. As long as the tracks are good, then mm-hmm. that's cool.
But at the same time, when I'm on, it happens more and more, I've noticed now, with going back to look at, you know, older albums on Spotify, the original one's not there anymore. It's only the fucking
Deluxe.
Super expanded mega edition with like 40 demos and live tracks, whatever. So it's like, I don't want to fucking all this on my phone. I just want the track.
That's a little annoying, isn't it? But people aren't buying albums anymore, so bands have to make some money, and people want to buy that shit, they'll buy that shit.
If it's your favourite bands as well, and they've released some new tracks, you do want to hear them.
I'm just trying to think of album, like classic albums that I've listened to where a bonus track that got released later is as good as everything that was in it. The only one I can think of is Leave Me Alone by Michael Jackson on Bad, because that was a bonus track. That's one of the greatest pop songs of all time, on the greatest pop album of all time.
Well,
so yeah, irrelevant to this conversation though.
Well, maybe, so going back to the 100 years thing, I wouldn't be surprised if albums didn't exist in 100 years. It's just singles. Like, if there's no money in physical music anymore, why?
Wouldn't be surprised if people stopped doing that, didn't they? Like a couple of years back, people were like, we're not doing albums, we're just doing singles. But I think, like you said, for that money reason, they still kind of need to put out albums and have touring cycles to make money. People still need that kind of format. So yeah, if there's not a reliance on it, maybe it will go away.
I think what will change stuff as well is that Apple are not doing, you're not going to be able to buy albums off Apple soon, are you?
Yeah, I think next year iTunes has a downloadable service is ending.
I think that's going to change how people put out music for sure, because you're not going to be able to pick different tracks to download individually and stuff. Oh, I just thought of another good one. When Prodigy did the extended edition of Invaders Must Die, and they did Liam's Reamp remix of the title track, where it starts with the do 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 do. So when they played at all the gigs, yeah, that was awesome. So that was worth it. That's two examples, neither of which are directly metal related. So,
what about commentary? Sometimes you get album commentary now.
I haven't listened to any of that yet.
No,
I find the idea interesting, but I always think if I want to listen to like a Slipknot album, I just want to listen to Slipknot album.
I think my attention span wanes because I'm the same. I find the idea of it really interesting. I think, oh, I definitely want to listen to that, and then I'll put it on, and then halfway through I'll be like, oh, I really want to listen to that song.
Can you not talk over my song, please?
Bloody hell. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to go and subscribe and rate us on iTunes. The more you rate us, the higher up in the rankings we'll get. The more people that listen to us, the more things we can do to bring you more exclusive content right here on the Metal Hammer podcast. Don't forget that the latest issue of Metal Hammer is out right now. We have that world exclusive interview with Ghost. We also have an emotional interview with Parkway Drive. There's the story of Thrash Part 1, plus Dimmu Borgir, Jonathan Davis, A Perfect Circle, Buried Tomorrow, many, many, many more. Luke's pissing off to New York next week. Check you out.
I know.
Does that mean you're not going to be here?
I won't be here for next week's podcast.
I see. You're going to New York City.
New York City.
What are you doing?
I'm off to watch Alice in Chains twice.
Nice. Right?
Nice. Nice, Morten. Nice.
One of my, yeah, probably my favourite grunge band, maybe.
That's
yeah.
the correct
answer. If you're having the best of the kind of big four of grunge, yeah.
Out yeah, I fucking love Nirvana. Either way, Alice in Chains, better than Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Fight me.
Backed. Backed. That's for another time. Luke will be back in a couple of weeks to tell us all about that. Elle and I will be back next week, possibly with Jonathan. We'll see what he's up to. Maybe he wants to come back on. Either way, we will see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. And don't forget, Golden Gods tickets on sale right now. Meshuggah, motherfuckers.